Welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill, the pastor of Providence Presbyterian Church, located in Evansville, Indiana. Today is Friday, July 21st, 2023. This is edition number 122. As we continue in Season 8, looking at the Westminster Confession of Faith, today we'll consider the final paragraph, the last half of the final paragraph of Chapter 21 of Religious Worship and the Sabbath Day, by looking further into matters pertaining to the Lord's Day. Let's pray first, and then we'll consider these things. Father, as we humble ourselves once again before you, we do so in humble expectation and reliance upon your Spirit, that he will teach and guide us, that we would truly understand the importance of the Lord's Day. The fourth commandment is given to us, a day that is set apart from all the other days of the week. May you grant us your grace. May we honor you in our obedience to this day that you have given for our good, we ask for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, paragraph number 8 of chapter 21, we've considered, of course, paragraph 7, where we noted the beginning of the discussion related to the Sabbath day or the Lord's Day, and now paragraph number 8, we're going to consider just the very last portion of it, but let me read the entirety of the paragraph. This Sabbath is then kept holy unto the Lord, when men, after a due preparing of their hearts and ordering of their common affairs beforehand, do not only observe and holy rest all the day from their own works, words, and thoughts about their worldly employments and recreations, but also are taken up the whole time in the public and private exercises of his worship and in the duties of necessity and mercy. Now, just by way of review, the things that we saw on Thursday, we noted, of course, that the Lord's Day really begins before the Lord's Day arrives, in that due preparation, not only of our hearts, but those practical measures and things that we should be giving our attention to that would help us so that we might not be distracted on matters pertaining to the Lord's Day. And so we prepare our hearts and we order our common affairs beforehand, and we observe holy rest all the day from our works, words, and thoughts about our worldly employments and recreations. These things could be lawful. They certainly, our jobs are that which God has provided for us. But the purpose of the Lord's Day is to give our attention to God and his worship and to the fellowship of God's people with acts of mercy and necessity. And so this constant refrain and discussion about our jobs on the Lord's Day only takes us away mentally from these things and only returns us back to that which we bear up under for 6 days of the week, that burden of work, which is a result of the curse, that is to say, the toil of labor. All of those matters turn our attention away, as we have conversation about them, away from the purpose of the Lord's Day, the heavenly rest that's been promised and is in fact shown for us in type and shadow in the Lord's Day. Not only that, but our recreations, the things that we normally are permitted to do, and it's not wrong to do on any other days of the week, providing it's not getting in the way of those things that are things that we ought to be doing. Those things, again, do not serve the purpose of the day. And sadly, in the church today, as I've witnessed, I see people who do not regard the Lord's Day as holy, and so they schedule various sporting events and other types of activities that are lawful on other days, but are not lawful on the Lord's Day. And of course, it takes them away from the real purpose of the day and the blessing of the day that comes to those who seek to honor it. And so the phrase that we're going to consider, well, the elements that we're going to consider in this devotional today as we conclude this chapter begins with the word but there, but also are taken up the whole time in the public and private exercises of his worship. Now, the public worship, that's easy. That's the side in which we gather together with God's people and we corporately, publicly worship God in church on the Lord's Day, morning and indeed evening, if your church does have one. If your church does not have one, pray that your church would start one. It used to be commonplace in our country to have two worship services on the Lord's Day. It really is the rhythm of the Old Testament, morning and evening worship. And churches should, indeed, frame the Lord's Day with morning and evening worship. And so, if in fact that's the case, then be obedient to the Lord by honoring the Lord's Day and be obedient to your elders that you've vowed to submit to, and so far as they submit to Christ and seek to lead you in the things of the Lord, by being present unless you're providentially hindered from that activity. It's for the good of your soul. The Lord himself has wisely given those two worship services to help you in your spiritual journey and your pilgrimage. Why would you neglect those things? But sadly, there are many Christians who do. We have two worship services here at Providence. Not everybody comes. I suspect this church isn't unusual in that respect. There's always a percentage of people that go from the morning service but don't come to the evening service. Somehow they think the second service is less holy, or they think the morning service is more holy. I don't know. I don't know what the reasons are, but they ought not be happening. When God's people start taking seriously his worship publicly in both morning and evening and honor the Lord's Day, then we may see then the Lord's blessing poured out upon us. But then there's the private exercise of his worship. That could be private in the sense of families or on your own. Now, of course, you should be engaged in private worship every day of the week. But because the Lord's Day is the Lord's Day and you're not doing those other things, those recreations, those worldly employments and other activities that are not suited for the Lord's Day, you have more time given to you by the Lord to read his word, to spend extended times in prayer. What about good books to read and biographies and things that, you know, the rest of the week just makes it harder, of course, to do those things. Not impossible, but harder. But here on the Lord's Day, you have opportunity to do those kinds of things in a private exercise of worship. Family worship. You know, not every family can do family worship every single day of the week for one reason or another. Of course, that's the goal, but it doesn't always happen. But on the Lord's Day, there's ample opportunity, either in the morning before you go to worship, or in the afternoon between the worship services, or in response to the Lord's Day and the worship services that you participated in during the day, in the evening before everybody retires for bed. But whatever course of action you take, the Lord's Day gives you a great opportunity for those kinds of things. And yet God's people, they don't seize those opportunities, and they wonder why they don't see God doing things. We don't see the blessing of God being poured out from heaven, and they wonder why the church is anemic and doesn't look really anything different than the world. Well, this is one of the reasons. Now, what do we do with this last phrase, the duties of necessity and mercy? Well, there's an interesting passage in Mark chapter 3 in which the Westminster Assembly appeals to this passage as a proof text for these two aspects, these acts of necessity and in mercy. And so Mark chapter 3, just reading verses 1 through 5, again he entered the synagogue, a man was there with a withered hand, and they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that he might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. Here we have, in principle, on the Sabbath day, the Lord exercising a work of mercy given to this man who's been infirmed. He's been infirmed for a period of time, and Jesus had mercy upon him, and his heart was moved with compassion, and he, on the Sabbath day, exercises this compassion, this mercy towards this poor beleaguered soul. Now, certainly there are going to be activities in which we need to exercise mercy towards others, and it happens on the Lord's Day. Any number of examples can be offered. You're driving down the road and someone's stranded and with no possible help coming, no hope, they're by themselves, whatever the case may be, and so you are late for worship because you helped them. That's not a violation of the Lord's Day. That's keeping the Lord's Day. That's acting in mercy. Well, we have doctors and nurses and firemen and police officers and a host of other occupations that are necessary on the Lord's Day because people break the law on the Lord's Day. People get sick on the Lord's Day. There's heart attacks and there's serious medical conditions that occur on the Lord's Day and a host of other things that occur. And so we have those things in our society as acts of mercy and necessity to accomplish those things. This is not a violation of the Lord's Day. I often get that question from people. Well, you know, if I'm a police officer, if I'm a doctor, you know, am I prohibited from working on the Lord's Day? Well, the answer is no. Obviously, you have a situation in which you're probably needed in acts of mercy and necessity. Really a great argument for why you should have two worship services on the Lord's Day, because people who can't come to the morning service because of these occupations that are acts of mercy and necessity still would have opportunity in the evening to come and worship God. So they're not altogether prohibited from the public worship of God. Now, there's other occupations that certainly don't fit that bill, and we need to be careful what kind of jobs we take, and so that we might not violate the purpose of the Lord's Day. One of the dangers, of course, with the Lord's Day and matters pertaining to it is, and I've had this question asked of me many times, you know, a list of things we're not allowed to do. You know, frankly, I don't think that's very helpful. I think if we just look at the purpose of the Lord's Day, what is its purpose? The public and private exercise of God's worship, a day uniquely different from the rest of the week in which we can order our day and order our time in a way that's conducive to the purpose of the Lord's Day, which is the eternal hope that's presented to us of that eternal rest that God is going to grant with us. And what does that rest look like? Well, it looks like worship. It looks like fellowship. It looks like hospitality. It looks like all of those things. And that's what we'll be doing for eternity. And so why not just use the Lord's Day and always keep that question in front of you? Is this keeping with the purpose of the Lord's Day? You get all these questions. Can I watch football? Am I allowed to watch baseball? Am I allowed to walk in the park? Am I allowed to play out in the backyard with my son throwing a ball around? Am I allowed to do this? Am I allowed to do this? Am I allowed to do this? Ask yourself, does this keep with the purpose of the Lord's Day? Because look at all the things that you get to do that you cannot do typically on other days of the week. And really, that's what I try to emphasize with people. And I try to show them the benefits and blessings that come from honoring the Lord's Day, the things that we get to do that we typically cannot do on Friday or Tuesday. And one of them, of course, is public worship. Now, maybe you don't like public worship. And if that's the case, then you really need to ask yourself whether you're even a Christian. But the fact remains that you get to do that on the Lord's Day. That's the day that God has set apart for that purpose. Your elders have called you to gather to worship the triune God. You should delight in it. You should enjoy it. You should like it. And if you don't, you have a heart problem. Never mind your profession of faith. There's something wrong with you. You need to repent. You need to ask the Lord to change the inclinations of your heart, the disposition of your heart. Well, this worship service isn't the way I like it. Well, that's not up to you. That is up to your elders and your pastor as he seeks to guide you and lead you as the way God has determined and commanded that he be worshipped. Well, I don't like the music. Well, again, that's your problem, frankly. I'm sorry. I hate to say it that way. But, you know, if your elders and pastor are doing what they ought to be doing, they're choosing music that is conducive for the Lord's Day and conducive for his worship. Now, we can find all kinds of excuses for why we don't like something. Well, then, of course, there's the opportunity for private worship, an extended period in God's Word and prayer. And raise your hand if you think you pray too much. And no one can really say that they pray too much. And so you have that opportunity to spend time with your family in prayer before the God of heaven, to talk about spiritual things with your children, teach them about Christ, give them the hope of the gospel. There are so many benefits. But then, just adding to that, the opportunity to spend the Lord's Day afternoon in service and acts of mercy to others. Perhaps take your children to and volunteer at a soup kitchen and show them what it looks like to serve. How about open up your front door and have people in your church, in your homes? That used to happen often in the church, but suddenly, for whatever reason, that's just kind of gone by the wayside. And people, again, have great excuses for that, too. And we've got excuses for everything. And so open your homes and watch what happens. The benefit of enjoying time together with your brothers and sisters that you sit in the same room with and worship. I mean, don't you like each other? So have them over. You don't do it every week necessarily, but have people over. Spend a little bit of time together. Have a meal and talk and get to know each other on that level and Ask those kinds of questions and encourage one another in their Christian faith because they're walking that same road you are. Don't overstay your welcome, by the way. And then, of course, rest. Rest. Find time in the afternoon to rest. Shut your eyes, take a nap, whatever the case may be. Not laziness, of course, but get real rest for your body and for your soul. And so there are so many benefits to the Lord's Day, benefits that are afforded you that are just generally not present on a Tuesday. And this is the way in which we honor the Lord in trying to keep it. Chad Van Dixhorn, in his commentary on page 295, he says this about this whole issue of what can't I do, what can't I do. He says, the main point is that between worship, hospitality, and since it is the Sabbath, could we add fellowship and rest? Christians can easily devote their whole day to the Lord. A day with morning and evening worship and fellowship and hospitality in between tends to answer most Sabbath practice questions. Indeed, we would do well to avoid being over-prescriptive in defining the structures and activities of that day. And we should be aware that pious efforts to justify some sensible Sunday activities are often far too fancy and ultimately undermine the uniqueness of Sabbath worship and acts of mercy. We do not need to call a walk in the park an act of worship or a deed of mercy to legitimize it. That would only have the effect of redefining biblical categories so broadly that they could lose their usefulness. Let us be aware of our own needs and strength as well as those of others, and then remember the maxim that our Lord left with the Pharisees. It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. That's Matthew 12:12. If we remember the Sabbath day, worshiping our Lord and aiming to do good, and if this is the longing of our hearts with God's help, we cannot go far wrong. And if we do err, we can turn to the Lord of the Sabbath who rose one Sunday morning so that sinners would find life and look forward to an eternal rest with him and all his people. And so here it is. Look at the things you get to do. Look at all the positives. Focus on those. Don't worry about that list you've created. Seek to operate on the Lord's Day according to the purpose of that day, and you won't go far wrong from honoring the Lord on the day that he is set apart and called holy. Well, I trust these times are helpful for you. I hope they are. If you have any comments or questions, you can leave me a note. The way to reach me is there before you on the screen. And so until the Monday edition, when we turn our attention now to chapter 22 of Lawful Oaths and Vows, may the Lord help you today to serve him. God bless.